It's time for the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. It's time for The Game on ESPN 1400. For the next 2 hours, we'll get an in-depth look at local sports in the Eastern Upper Peninsula and Algoma region and hear from the coaches and players involved in the game. We'll also analyze the college and pro sports scene across the region and dive into the biggest national stories. Now, let's get to The Game and join your host, Scott Nason.
Greetings and salutations, and welcome to The Game on ESPN 1400. You can also hear us online at 1400ESPN.net and podcast at thegamesportshow.podbean.com. As the man said, my name is Scott Nason, broadcasting from our ESPN 1400 studios in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, on this Monday, July 26th, 2021. The Game, the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, will be with you up until 8 o'clock tonight. And coming up on The Game, special guests include Doug LaProd, head coach of the Sioux Eagles. 6:30, we'll be talking to co-host David McKeag Jr., host of The Game Sports Show in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. 6:45, we'll be talking to co-host Butch Davis from Butch on Sports, who will get us up to date on what's going on in the Metro Detroit sports world. And Butch will join us for the entirety of the show and our roundtable in the second half of The Game. We were off last week due to a little bit of illness by yours truly, just a bad cold, but we're back this week. We will be off next week, and our next edition of The Game will be on Monday, August 9th, 2021. We have a lot of local sports to cover here in this first segment, so let's start with Laker Athletics, as quite a bit of news out of Lake Superior State University over the past week or so, including a new athletic director, as Lake Superior State University has selected veteran collegiate athletics executive and Michigan native David Dials as their new director of athletics after conducting a national search. He succeeds Dr. David Pateson, who resigned after 4 years at Lake State to accept an assistant professor of sport management position at the University of Indianapolis. Dials will begin at LSSU on August 2nd and will oversee the 11 Division II teams in the Great Lakes Intercollegiate Athletic Conference and the Division I men's hockey team in the Central Collegiate Hockey Association. A four-time NCAA athletic director over the past 26 years, Dials comes to LSSU from the Virginia Military Institute, a Division I institution with 18 varsity sports. In 8 years running the program, he played key roles in increasing student athletic GPA, establishing an initiative to recruit athletes with exceptional academic backgrounds, growing the scholarship budget by more than 70%, supporting VMI's efforts in raising tens of millions of dollars for athletics, and erasing an inherited debt of nearly $1.5 million, assisting the VMI's foundation effort to augment the department's endowment from $31 million to $72 million through new gifts and market adjustment, renovating athletic facilities, and winning several conference sportsmanship awards. Other career credits for Dials includes director of athletics at Division III Case Western Reserve University. He also has plenty of athletic director experience, including at Eastern Michigan for around 10 years. Also, the assistant director of athletics at Auburn University, among many, many other accolades. So David Dials, the new athletic director at Lake State, and he will start on August 2nd, and we certainly will look to get him on The Game to explain more about himself and some of the things he hopes to accomplish here at Lake State for Laker Athletics. Lake Superior State University hockey assistant coaches Zach Sizek and Mike York, they have both been promoted to associate head coach, as announced by head coach Damon Witten last week. In addition, Sizek and York have both agreed on terms to multi-year contract extensions. York joined the Lakers staff in July 2017 as an assistant coach and will enter his fifth season with Lake State this upcoming season. Sizek joined the Lakers staff in August of 2018 as an assistant coach, and he will enter his fourth season with Lake State coming up. So both York and Sizek promoted to associate head coach. So congratulations to those gentlemen. Over the past couple weeks, the Rudyard Bulldog softball team had more accolades, including seniors Paige Postma and Morgan Bickle, who played at the Michigan High School Softball All-Star Game. The Rudyard duo helped the red team to a 6-5 win over the white team in 8 innings in the Division IV game, which was played at Central Michigan University. While the top recently graduated seniors from around the state played in the game, Rudyard was also represented at the event by junior Brooklyn Besteman and sophomore Megan Postma. They were recognized and received plaques at the game, as both received Division IV All-State honors this past season. And Stephen Davis of Rudyard was one of the coaches for the red team at the All-Star game. So congratulations to all those individuals who took part in that. A couple weekends ago, two Sioux Legacy teams finished runners-up at the 2021 Sioux Invitational. This tournament drew 28 teams who competed in four divisions. The winning teams were the Extreme Diamonds in the high school division, Michigan Gold Rush in the 14U division, Traverse City Thunder in the 12U division, and the Lady Bandits in the 10U division. They all captured titles. The Legacy's 14 and under team and high school team both reached the championship games in their brackets, which were played a week ago on Sunday. The Sioux Legacy's high school division softball team completed its season this past Saturday at the 16th annual Merit Fast Pitch Tournament. The Sioux Legacies went 1-1-1. The Legacies placed second in their four-team pool, opening up Friday with a 6-4 win over the Copper Country Crush. Following a four-hour rain delay on Saturday, they tied the West Bend Lightning 5-5. And then the Sioux would also lose in an international tiebreaker on Saturday evening against the Northwoods Fast Pitch team. Amber Curtis pitched a two-hit victory against the Crush and claimed a 7-hit loss to Northwoods. She struck out 3 in both games. Elania Sari of Marquette tossed a 6-hit tie with West Bend while she struck out 3. The Legacy's top hitters over the weekend were Amber Curtis. She went 2-for-5. Lucy Husky went 2-for-5. Sari went 2-for-6, and Marquette's Lindsay Lake also went 2-for-6. We'll talk more about the NHL draft with David McKay Jr. coming up at the bottom of the hour. The Sioux Greyhounds did have one player selected in the 2021 entry draft. Defenseman Jacob Holmes was drafted in the 5th round by the Dallas Stars. And Sault Ste. Marie native Jack Mateer, who plays for the Ottawa 67s on defense, he was drafted by the Nashville Predators in the 4th round of the 2021 NHL draft. USA Hockey, they announced the roster for the U.S. Women's National Team that will compete at the 2021 International Ice Hockey Federation Women's World Championship, which will be held August 20th through 31st in Calgary, Alberta. And one of the 15 members on the squad is Abby Rock from Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. Of course, Abby played her high school hockey at Wisconsin. She is one of the 15 players named to that roster. Well, a familiar name in the Upper Peninsula from a few years ago at North Central, Jason Wittens, he will be transferring to play for Tom Izzo and Michigan State this fall. Wittens, who led North Central to 3 consecutive Class D championships, entered the transfer portal in May. Wittens played his college basketball at Western Michigan, and following their 5-16 season, he decided to enter the transfer portal, and he will play for Tom Izzo and Michigan State. So certainly very exciting there if you're a Michigan State fan, like yours truly, to see a Youper playing for a Youper in Tom Izzo. The UP Football All-Star Game, they have finalized the schedule and players for this year's event. The players selected as All-Stars were drafted by coaches, similar to the NFL Fantasy Football Leagues, and are either on the red or black team. Players from the Eastern Upper Peninsula invited to this year's All-Star Game include Dalen Lujan of Sault Ste. Marie, Logan Depew of Newberry, Eric Hike and Hayden Taylor of Pickford, who are all on the black team. Chris Pierce of Sault Ste. Marie, Micah Bailey and Dominic Bonney of Pickford, Michael Fairchild and Grant Fountain of Cedarville, Detour, you got to call them both now, Mason Harris of Brimley, Louis Mayer of Rudyard, and Nicholas Nance of Engadine, along with Ivan Oswald of Newberry, are on the red team. And Tom McKee and Hugh Clark of Brimley are some of the coaches for the red team. Now, the draft took place in April, and they wanted to kind of mix up the teams to make sure they were evenly matched. And so the UP All-Star Game is set for the Superior Dome this upcoming Saturday, July 31st. Game time is set for 1 p.m., and they have plenty of activities throughout the week for players and coaches, as the players and coaches are checking in today at the Superior Dome. And after last year with COVID-19 and not being able to have a UP football all-star game, they're having that this year indeed. And we're only 2 weeks away, if you can believe that, from the start of the high school sports fall season, as practices will commence on August 9th for high school football, cross country, volleyball, and other fall sports. And so summer always goes by rather quickly. And it's going by very quickly indeed, as we're just 2 weeks away from the high school sports season beginning. Hard to believe. The Ontario Hockey League, they are requiring everyone from players and coaches to volunteers and billets to be fully vaccinated prior to the start of the 2021-2022 OHL season, or risk not being involved until the pandemic is over or no longer a significant risk. The Ontario Hockey League's vaccine policy was sent to teams last week and posted on the league website this past week, although no news release was sent to the media. The Ontario Hockey League requires that all OHL community members be vaccinated against COVID-19 in accordance with the remainder of this policy at least 14 days prior to the commencement of the 2021-22 season, according to this policy. And there's still lots of questions as far as vaccinations, border openings. We'll talk more about that with Doug LaProd coming up here in a few minutes, as Canada has opened or will be opening up the border in early August. However, the United States, they are maintaining the border be closed at least up until August 21st. So this certainly will pose a lot of questions and concerns maybe with those teams like the Sioux Eagles, the Flint Firebirds, the Saginaw Spirit, the Erie Otters, all that play in Canadian junior hockey leagues. We're still going to have to wait and see what happens there, but hopefully we'll get that border opened up and people get vaccinated and we'll be able to play hockey and have some sort of normal season. I think most of us can agree on that. We're going to take a break here on the game. We come back, we'll talk Sioux Eagles hockey with their head coach, Doug LaProd. All coming up on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, ESPN 1400.
It's 2021, and Reed Metals in Dafter, your honest, main source, one-stop metal recycling business serving northern Michigan, hopes everyone has a prosperous year. If you need a few extra dollars to help with your cooling bills or that trip you may want to take to the warm state of Hawaii, bring Reed Metals your unwanted scrap metals, and they'll print you a check. Reed Metals is paying top dollar for whole scrap vehicles. They also buy heavy equipment, catalytic converters, radiators, batteries, rims, and motors. Reed Metals will give you an honest price without surprise fees or deductions at the scale. Bring in copper, brass, lead, tin, cast, aluminum, steel, and many more types of recyclable metals, and they'll print you a check with your name on it. Reed Metals is your honest, one-stop metal recycling business. They also offer roll-off dumpster service. Reed Metals is open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Visit reedmetals.com or call 906-632-0018. Bring it in or have it hauled, and Reed Metals will print you a check with your name on it. Reed Metals, 10 miles south of the Sioux on Mackinac Trail.
At Old Mission Bank, we're ready to make your home ownership dreams a reality. We're excited to announce that we now offer USDA home loans with options for 100% financing. You heard that right, 100% financing for qualifying USDA mortgages. Come see our experienced lenders to discuss your personal options and let us find the right mortgage for your needs, because it's what we do best. Act now to pre-qualify by calling us or apply directly online at omblloans.com. We're Old Mission Bank, home of your experienced local mortgage professionals. FDIC insured, equal housing lender.
Summer, the change of seasons is sure to bring a smile to your face. Don't let your mood sour at the prospect of dealing with that unreliable mower for yet another year. Rely on the experts at Gaylor Thompson Sales and Service. Their highly skilled technicians can help. Gaylor Thompson Sales and Service takes pride in their work, and they know that an ounce of prevention can mean years of reliability down the road. Call them to talk about your service needs or stop in and chat with Paul and the gang today. Gaylor Thompson Sales and Service, just off I-75, exit 373, Rudyard, Michigan.
Let's get back to the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. Let's get back to the game on ESPN 1400.
6:15 on the game, ESPN 1400. Scott Nason with you. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll be talking Sioux Ontario sports with David McKeag Jr., host of the Game Sports Show in Sioux Ontario. Joining us now, the head coach of the Sioux Eagles of the Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League, Doug LaPrade, joining us on the game. Doug, appreciate you taking time out here on a beautiful Monday night to join us, and welcome back to the game, sir.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me, Scott.
Well, Doug, before we get to Sioux Eagles hockey, I just wanted a little personal question as far as how things have gone for you and your family this summer. You and I were chatting before we went on the air that summer is going by rather quickly. How are things in the LaPrade household right now?
Everything's good. We have been blessed with having everybody happy and healthy. And so the winter, or winter, geez, I'm ahead of myself. Wonderful. And we've been enjoying ourselves.
Well, that's good to hear, Doug. And certainly we're getting to the point of talking about Sioux Eagles hockey coming up here over the next few months as, well, you and your coaching staff have been busy, not letting time stand still this summer already, hosting a couple tryout camps over the past couple months. You had one in Petoskey and in the Chicago area. You'll have your third and final tryout or main camp for the Eagles, which is scheduled for August 6th through the 8th at the Big Bear Arena in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. Just give us an update as far as where the team sits right now, as far as your two tryout camps that you've had and heading into the main camp here in a couple weeks.
Well, you know, the camps have been great. The Petoskey camp, we had more veterans and obviously some local kids at that than we had at the Chicago camp. The Chicago camp was wonderful. I mean, that's the first time that we've done that since I've been the coach. We had over 60, almost 70 kids at that camp. And we, you know, we've got about at least right now four commitments out of that camp, that some really good hockey players that I'm excited about coaching. So we're kind of moving forward as far as what we have returning, and you know, obviously we're not going to get everybody back, but we, you know, we're excited about where we're at right now with players.
Looking at last season, Doug, obviously challenging to say the least with COVID-19, but despite all that, you and your team were able to schedule and play many games, and you had five players from last year's team who have opportunities now to play at the college level, including Sioux Michigan native Bobby Price and defenseman Nolan Dresch. They're heading to Tryon University. Joe Martin committed to Hamline University, while Malik Ali and Alex Carruthers plan to play at Indiana Tech. Certainly last season, you don't want a repeat of that as far as having to navigate COVID-19. We'll talk more about that in a little bit, but pretty much a feather in your cap for you, Bruno, the coaches and players, just to, you know, to be able to play and, you know, to be able to do what your team strives to do is get players to the next level.
Well, absolutely. And you know, that's the goal, right? I mean, you can put a team together and try to win games, and everybody wants to do that. But you know, philosophically, the way you get better is you move kids on, and it doesn't matter what level that is, whether it's high school hockey or AAA midget or juniors or even college hockey, and to an extent, American Hockey League. You know, before that, before you get to pro, I mean, that part of the game is, you know, you move kids on, then kids will want to play for you because they say, they see that and they say, well, you know what, I want to play college hockey one day. And at the end of the day, whether it's D1 or D3 or even ACHA hockey right now, club hockey has gotten very, very good in the United States. At the end of the day, you're getting a job when you're done. You need to get your degree. You know, hockey will end one day, and that's the important part of things. And that's what we're really trying to strive here is, you know, yes, we want you to play at the highest level you possibly can, but using Bobby Price as an example, you know, that he's going to a private school, trying university, that he's going to come out of there with an unbelievably valuable piece of paper with a degree. And, you know, he gets to play hockey along the way, but the big picture is really the degree, right?
Absolutely. Doug LaPrade joining us on the game, head coach of the Sioux Eagles. And Doug, over the past few weeks, the Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League has announced the regular season schedule, a 56-game schedule. The Eagles season opener is slated for September 17th at Puller Stadium against the Sioux Thunderbirds. And over the past week or so, the Government of Canada has announced that they will reopen their border starting early next month. I guess the question I have for you is there's still some concerns as far as the U.S. border, which continues to be closed at least until late August. What has been your discussion and Bruno's discussion with the league as far as, you know, being able to compete in the season? Have there been any lot of conversation between you and the league, or where does that sit right now?
Yeah, there's been constant conversation between us and the league. And at the end of the day right now, we're really not all that concerned about the border. Our league commissioner is pretty well connected in Canada. He's got really very, very good contacts with the health units. And, you know, in Canada, and basically at the end of the day, we're pretty much assured that the border is going to be open based on the intel they have. More than likely, from what we're being told, the apprehension of the U.S. side isn't the Canadian border; it's more the Mexican border.
Right.
So, you know, we're going as planned. We're putting our team together. We've got our league schedule. We've got some exhibition games scheduled with the USA 17s again here at the Puller, and I believe Janesville of the North American League is going to come here to the Puller also. That's tentative right now. But, you know, we're moving forward, and we're planning on having a great season and welcoming back the great fans of the Sioux into the Puller.
Yeah, I think all hockey fans are looking forward to having Sioux Eagles hockey back at the Puller this season. Certainly us here at ESPN 1400, we're excited to be broadcasting those games. And, you know, let's look ahead to the main camp, which will be just in a couple weeks, August 6th through the 8th at Big Bear Arena in Sioux St. Marie, Michigan. There's further camp details you can find on the Sioux Eagles website or go to the Sioux Eagles Facebook page. Right now, Doug, we're still a couple weeks away, but what are you expecting out of that camp? Do you have a certain amount of players signed up? Because this is it. This is where you pick your team for the upcoming season.
Yeah, I mean, you know, right now it's always like a shell game with these kids at every level. Whether you're a high school player, you might want to go play AAA. If you don't make it, you're going to play high school. If you're a AAA player, you're going to go to juniors, and if you don't make it back. Same thing with junior hockey. You know, they're going to go, you know, to try to play at a higher level and try to make teams. And right now, a lot of our kids have done that. A lot of them have called me and said, you know what, I don't really like it here, or maybe it didn't work out for them in camp. We'd like to come back. And, you know, we've got about 10 kids that I'll welcome back with open arms. They're going to be very good players for us. Players that I can't believe can't make a North American Hockey League team, but it's always a numbers game. And especially this year, kids are scrambling for places to play because now last year was such a disaster that, teams are really kind of committing kids early and so on. So we're excited with what we got coming in. Again, we've got about 10 kids that I'm really looking forward to getting back. We've got a few kids out of each camp, a couple kids out of Petoskey, and about 6 kids out of Chicago that we're excited about. And you know, at the end of the day, we'll put the best team that we can on the ice we'll go for there. The other variable about this situation is, you know, to play in the Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League, you have to be fully vaccinated.
Right.
And that weighs. Well, we've got 3 kids that from last year's team that will not get vaccinated. So we've basically told them not to come to camp. You know, they just, that's their choice. It's their personal choice. It's their family's decision. But obviously, if you can't get, you don't have fully two vaccination shots, you can't play hockey for us because of the border situation. So it's a different dynamic that's kind of entered the situation. But it is what it is, I guess.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, Doug, as far as that in Canada requiring full vaccination for people crossing the border. The Ontario Hockey League announced last week that all coaches, volunteers, billet parents, and players will have to be fully vaccinated. And it sounds like that while you're not mandating your players being vaccinated, certainly it's just what you have to do. I mean, if you're going to play in the league, your players are going to have to be fully vaccinated.
Yeah, and again, it doesn't really matter what I say. It's what the league and Canada have said, and that's what we've got to go by. So, you know, there's two pretty good hockey players off our team last year that we're not going to get back because of this. And you know, again, that's their decision on what they want to do, and it's their family's decision on what they want to do. But, yeah, we can't go there as far as rules of the league.
Doug LaPrade joining us on the game, head coach of the Sioux Eagles. Doug, final question. You have a new assistant coach, although he was with your team for a portion of last year. Fedor Fedorov has joined the Eagles as an assistant coach. He's the brother of NHL Hockey Hall of Famer and former Detroit Red Wings star Sergei Fedorov. We've talked to Bruno a couple months ago about the addition of Mr. Fedorov. How has that been as far as from a head coaching perspective to have Fedorov on your squad?
It's been fantastic. I mean, Fed's he's passion for the game is second to none. I mean, it's his passion is beyond my passion, and that's saying a lot. So he's eager to learn. He's eager to want to get better as a coach. You know, he's got an extensive hockey experience as far as being a player. He played in the National Hockey League for a little while, but he spent 10 or 12 years in the Continental Hockey League, the KHL in Russia. And that's a good league. I mean, you know, he's got great experiences. He's got great knowledge. He's good. He gives me ideas on some things that maybe I'm not seeing clearly, and that's all you want, right? That's what you need from an assistant coach. You have to learn from him, and he has to learn from you. And I really truly don't see him as an assistant. I really kind of see him as a partner. And I'm looking forward to spending the entire season with him this year coming up.
Well, Doug, we're looking forward to Sioux Eagles hockey right here on ESPN 1400. Again, the Sioux Eagles will hold their main camp at Big Bear Arena August 6th through the 8th, and their opening regular season game will be September 17th against the Sioux Thunderbirds, with a few exhibition games sprinkled in between the main camp and the home opener. And Doug, I certainly miss Sioux Eagles hockey from a broadcast perspective. I know a lot of fans miss going to the Polar, and we're all looking forward to hopefully what will be a very successful Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League season. Thanks for joining us on the game, Doug, and we'll certainly talk to you again as the season gets closer and hopefully on ESPN 1400 for the broadcast. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Scott. Thanks for having me.
All right, that's Doug LaPrade, head coach of the Sioux Eagles. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk to David McKeag Jr., host of the Game Sports Show in Sioux, Ontario. All coming up on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, ESPN 1400. Welcome back to The Game on ESPN 1400. Scott Nason with you. Coming up at 6:45, we'll talk Detroit sports with co-host Butch Davis from Butch on Sports, who will be with us for the rest of tonight's show. Joining us now, co-host of this show and host of the Game Sports Show in Sioux, Ontario. You know him, you love him. Ladies and gentlemen, David McKeag Jr. Kegger, how you doing on another warm Monday? Seems like we've been saying this a lot over the past couple months.
Scotty, I love the warm weather. You know, the winters are too long, the summers are too short is the way I'd like to put it. And summer is absolutely flying by. We're almost in August already. I can't believe it, but I'm enjoying the hot weather as it comes. And the weekends go by too fast, too. Like, literally, if you blink when Friday and the work week's done, the work week is just restarting. So, nonetheless, Mondays, though, bring us the game, ESPN 1400. So, that's always a great thing to look forward to and talking to you. So, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing wonderful, Dave. And, well, things aren't starting just yet as far as local hockey, but certainly a lot of hockey to talk about for the Sioux Greyhounds, the Ontario Hockey League, as the NHL draft was held this weekend. We're going to talk more about some of the Detroit Red Wings picks with Butch Davis, but the Sioux Greyhounds did have a defenseman, Jacob Holmes, drafted in the fifth round. And just overall, I guess, just kind of an open-ended topic, Dave, as far as the Ontario Hockey League, which plans to start up their season on time. Of course, there's still that pesky border issue. The Canadian border looks like it's going to be opened up. The U.S. border right now is still in some questions. So I guess as we have our final show of July, and we'll be taking next week off due to my vacation, just overall, the state of local hockey as we head into August, which will be training camps. What are you feeling? What are you saying?
You know, honestly, it seems like for the Bridge and some reports of some local news has been released is that 66% of people are requesting full vaccination before going over the border. So I know that's the majority vote, and seems that the vaccination is going to be playing a big role and kind of getting both going into the United States and coming into. I know it's different countries, different rules. I'm not the expert in that area. I'm not going to pretend that I am. But it's going to certainly affect when it comes to travel for the NOJHL and for the OHL, if you want to consider, you know, Saginaw and Flint into that. So I think by the time puck drops, I think it'll all be figured out. I think everything's going to be back to normal in terms of going over the border, not normal in terms of full normality that we're used to, but in terms of having the schedule arranged and not having any conflicts due to travel, I think that'll be fully resolved. The Greyhounds, you know, they did have a good weekend with Holmes getting picked up in the draft. It's going to be a different team, though, right? Like, obviously, with Malik staying overseas and the expectation of how last year could have been gets a lot of questions how this year is going to be. So excited for the puck to drop. So are a lot of Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario residents. And I'll be curious to see the team that they ice. But that travel is always going to be the question. And will there be another lockdown in the future if something breaks out? I don't even want to say it because I don't want to jinx anything. But who knows how the future is going to pan out. But as of now, it seems everything's going to be smooth sailing for the season to start. Just questions about if fans are going to be able to travel over the border or how many fans are going to be allowed in the rink, et cetera.
The other big news, Dave, from the OHL this past week is the Ontario Hockey League will be requiring everyone from players, coaches, volunteers, and billets to be fully vaccinated prior to the start of the 2021-22 OHL season, risk or not, as far as being involved with the pandemic, or as long as it's no longer a significant risk. And we're starting to see this more and more. The NFL last week talked about those non-vaccinated players and COVID protocols as far as potentially forfeiting games. It's still kind of a touchy subject to many. Why, I don't understand, because the vaccination seems very effective against the new Delta variant or whatever new variant comes along with COVID. But I just wanted your thoughts on the OHL requiring everyone to get vaccinated. How do you feel about that?
Scott, that's a good question. I know I'm going to get mixed responses with this. It's obviously a very big topic, vaccination, non-vaccination, but I am a believer in having the vaccinations being effective if you want to play it and being a part of. And I can tell you right now that, yes, this is taking place for sports. I know some United States companies, Scott, have also had that implemented into their workplace. And I guarantee you it's going to start spanning into Canada. No, I'm not spoiling any companies that I work for or that I'm affiliated for or anything like that. It's just that I know from people who work at government levels and in the medical field that they'd be very surprised if full vaccination wasn't required just to travel in general. They can't force somebody to get the vaccination, but you can certainly enforce the policy in terms of the health and safety guideline regulations of either your company policy or your country's guidelines for the Human Rights Commission. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. I'm full for it. I think it makes sense. You're protecting the safety of the players, the fans, the staff. And, you know, despite if you're not fully vaccinated or if you are vaccinated, you can still get it. It could be worse. It could be attack someone different. It's a lot of reasons. And I think it makes sense that they are enforcing this. And I hope it continues to be a trend for not only sports, but for the workplace and community settings as well, because it's promoting that health and safety, which is vital to us getting back to be normal circumstances, if you will.
Yeah, certainly. I agree with you 100% there, Dave. Mixed reviews. There is a segment of the population that isn't comfortable with the vaccine for whatever reason. But as far as sports, it looks like many of the leagues, like the Ontario Hockey League, is taking a full vaccination approach, and one I certainly agree with. David McKay Jr. joining us on the game. And Dave, let's end our segment here. Before we talk about some of the things going on with your show over in Sioux, Ontario, talking about the NHL draft over the weekend, certainly was a good draft for the University of Michigan. Three players, I believe, in the top five or six. We had some trades. We also have free agency coming up. So I'm going to give you the floor as far as some of the things that you saw, some of your opinions. Obviously, with the NHL draft, unlike many professional sports league, you don't see the returns right away. But just your overall thoughts on the NHL draft. I'll give you the floor.
You know, there's certainly a lot we can get into. I know Montreal fans have heard it enough, and they're going to be saying right now that here's a Toronto Maple Leaf fan taking my host hat off for a sec and putting the fan hat on, that someone talking bad about Montreal as a Leaf fan. And that's not the case in terms of talking bad about, feeling bad about losing or in the Stanley Cup playoffs this year or anything. I'm just going to talk about strictly with the draft this year. The Montreal Canadiens selecting Logan Mailloux of the London Knights, right shot defenseman. Young man made a mistake when he was 17, but a mistake that was a very big one. Very inappropriate one. I'm not going to get into full details about it. Everyone should know the backstory. Logan was somebody who requested not to be picked this year due to his actions and wanted a year to mature and face the consequences of his actions. And the Montreal Canadiens were too tempted on the type of prospect that he was and ignored his requests and actions to not be drafted and drafted him in this year's draft. And I'm against that fully, because what does that tell against the victim? What does that show in terms of the classiness of the Montreal Canadiens organization? Sorry, I'm calling out flat on that. And also just not respecting the young man's wishes. You know, I don't know if he said that because he's already talking to Marc Bergevin and knew that Montreal would pick him and that's where he wanted to go. I hope that's not the case. But for his actions that he implemented outside of the rink involving, you know, underage female, is certainly inappropriate. And for him wanting to face the consequences of not being drafted and having to mature, I respected that. But for Montreal to come in, call an audible on his wishes and make that selection is absolutely disgusting, in my opinion. I'm not a fan of it. And Montreal, the organization, should be ashamed for allowing Bergevin to make that pick, because if anyone could have vetoed that pick, it could have been Montreal ownership. And obviously they didn't. They knew that he was going to make that pick and they let it go. And I'm very curious to hear more background as to why, despite the talent or knowing that he was a young man, that he realized the mistake. Enough of that. That's garbage reasoning. It's completely unacceptable. So that's one thing that really unfortunately took a lot of highlights from the draft. As you mentioned, Scott, if you're Michigan, obviously they had something good in the water with Beniers, with Owen Power, and the list goes on. Owen Power going first to Buffalo. You know, Buffalo hasn't had a lot of success, you know, in recent years. And that's why they have the top pick in the draft this year. And Seattle getting the second pick with Beniers. I love that pick. I think it's one of the steals. But I think the big steal of the draft is the 20th overall selection with Minnesota. Edmonton getting rid of that pick scratches my head, because they needed goaltending in the future. And Jesper Wallstedt, in my opinion, is the next Henrik Lundqvist, much as I've given praise to Yaroslav Askarov with Nashville. That another steal of the draft last year. I think Jesper was the steal of the draft this year, along with a lot of late picks. And Sioux native Jack Mateer was drafted to Nashville this weekend as well. So a lot of late picks for players that I thought could have went higher, but I think Minnesota got the steal of the draft in that first round, amongst some other teams that could be potentially named as well, with William Eklund. So the Detroit Red Wings, I think, had the steal trade of the week with Alex Nedeljkovic from the Carolina Hurricanes and Nets. That Calder Trophy runner-up. You know, Steve Yzerman continues to rob teams. You know, I think Steve Yzerman should be wanted for robbery, because he's literally done this. He's done this in Tampa. He's done this in Detroit. Look what he built in Tampa. As much you want to give praise to Breezeball going $18 million above the cap this year, truly the white gloves were given to him because the way Yzerman drafted and built that team. And he's going to build a great team in Detroit. And, of course, it has to be in Toronto's division. So, you know, it's Steve Yzerman's a great general manager, getting to Dolcevic and signed him to a two-year, $3 million per extension. My goodness, like, it makes no sense. When Steve Yzerman calls, I don't know if he has the mafia or what he's got going on. Like, he scares GMs to make these trades. I don't know. He's literally the magician behind the phone. So that's probably the steal trade of the weekend. The trade that didn't happen, you know, Zach Hyman's rights weren't moved to Edmonton, but everyone knows he's going to sign there this upcoming Wednesday for free agency. But you mentioned the draft, Scott, in particular. It was a great, exciting weekend for a lot of players and families. A lot of great players went in the draft. Seattle's best pick, obviously, was at two with Beniers. There are other picks in the expansion draft, though, Scott. I got a question. I don't know if Ron Francis was selecting a team for success this year. I think he's trying to tank for Wright and Bedard in the future. I wasn't as confident with their picks as I was with Vegas when Vegas made their picks. So it's been a draft-filled weekend, past week or so with the NHL. A lot of great things. I'm curious to know what people think were steals of the draft. As I mentioned, mine was Jesper Wallstedt at 20 to Minnesota.
Dave, before we let you go, it's going to be a couple weeks again for the game here on ESPN at 1400. What's in store for the Game Sports Show in Sioux, Ontario over the next couple weeks?
Well, we certainly have a couple busy shows coming up. We hope to certainly plan have an N1 edition between yourself and myself, Scott. We also plan to have a Top Shelf edition this upcoming week, as well as, you know, we might start diving into some In the Pocket bonus uploads as well. So the next couple of weeks will be very busy. What I can assure you of is a Top Shelf edition coming up within the next couple of days. We did upload our Andrew Bodnarchuk interview last week. Anyone who didn't check that out, make sure you do. Check out thegamesportsshow.com. Our next special edition upload will be with former Greyhound and goaltender Adam Monroe, former Chicago Blackhawk as well, will be the next upload this upcoming week by the end of the week. So keep an eye for that upload as well. The Game Sports Show in Sioux, Ontario, as we expand our business, as everyone has been hearing the teasing, we will be on YouTube with our news podcast shows starting after Labor Day. So a lot of great things coming. Still busy couple weeks with news shows and special edition shows before we take our annual two-week vacation here in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. So make sure you don't miss out on all the fun uploads that we have planned.
Looking forward to that indeed. David McKeag Jr. joining us on the game. Dave, have a great couple weeks. I'm going to be on vacation in the Northeast. Get to check out Fenway Park and some other things. And we'll talk in 2 weeks' time back here on ESPN 1400 for our next edition of the game.
Sounds good, Scotty. Always a pleasure talking to you. And we'll be in touch soon, my friend.
Sounds good. We're going to take a break. We come back, we'll talk Detroit sports with Butch Davis, all coming up on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, ESPN 1400.
Let's get back to the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. Let's get back to the game on ESPN 1400.
6:48 on the game, ESPN 1400. Scott Nason with you. Want to thank our guests so far, including co-host David McKeag Jr. from the Game Sports Show in Sioux, Ontario, and Doug LaPrade, head coach of the Sioux Eagles. Joining us now and for the remainder of the show, co-host of the game here on ESPN 1400 and host of Butch on Sports, Butch Davis. You can find a brand new edition of Butch on Sports from last night on his website, simplybutch2, that's too.podomatic.com. You can also find Butch on Sports on our podcast site, thegamesportsshow.podbean.com, as Butch joins us each and every week unless I'm sick like last week, to talk about what's going on in the Metro Detroit sports world. Butch, I missed you last week. Glad you're here this week. How you doing on this Monday night, sir?
Excuse me.
You sound like me last week.
Oh, boy. Yeah, nah. Okay, I hope.
Well, Butch, we got a lot to cover here over the next hour and 10 minutes. And, well, let's start where we left off the last segment. David McKay Jr. was talking about the NHL draft. And certainly the Detroit Red Wings have been very busy before the draft and after the draft. So let's kind of go in chronological order as far as some of the news and notes from that organization. It really all started last Thursday as the Detroit Red Wings traded the rights to unrestricted free agent goaltender Jonathan Bernier and a 2021 third round pick for a goaltender from Carolina, Alex Nedrovic. As Nedrovic went 15-5-3 this past season, led the NHL with a .932 save percentage, was one of the finalists for the Calder Trophy as the NHL's top rookie. The Wings signed Nedrovic to a 2-year contract with a $3 million cap hit annually. As he was a restricted free agent and eligible for arbitration, so Carolina seemed to be willing to part ways with that goaltender. Butch, certainly, it seems the Red Wings are getting a pretty good young goaltender. Your thoughts on that move?
Well, they're building up right now here. When I say building up, I think they're ready to win games instead of just sit back and lose games and hopefully that the NFL feels sorry for them or they can hit a lottery or whatever it may be and get other young kids and invested there. Right now, they're ready to go in progress of getting a winning formula out there on the ice there. And for that, a lot of those draft choices you may not see because they might be trading tools there in order to get more younger, more experienced people in the lineup there. That was a good one. We do need goaltending. We need consistent goaltending there. But I think the biggest problem, and I've mentioned it many times on the show, has to be defensively there where they made a dent in that as well.
And on the NHL draft, Butch, over the weekend, the Detroit Red Wings did select a defenseman with their first pick at number 6 as they drafted Simon Edvinson. He, a Swedish defenseman, 6'4", 198, playing in the Swedish Hockey League. And then the Wings traded some picks to move up and draft 15th. And, well, they picked another goaltender, 6'6", Sebastian Kosa, who played for the Edmonton Oil Kings in the Western Hockey League. Scott, a report on him, big, athletic, technically sound, potential franchise goalie. So your thoughts on the Wings moving up to get another goaltender? Certainly, it seems like will be a good situation for the Wings to have an established goaltender in the trade from Carolina and let this young man develop either in the Western Hockey League or other places. Your thoughts on the Wings' first couple picks?
Well, I think, again, Steve Yzerman is looking at the future right now, today. And with that saying there, he knows right now that if he's seen what we saw or what I saw, I should say, last season, there were some wobbles and flutters with goaltenders. And again, it wasn't so much the goaltenders were the actual problem there. It was the more or less the backup of the initial save. And then you got defensemen not in position or not skillful enough to take people out where that goaltender can do his job and cover up or basically be able to be clear for rebounds from other players and whatnot. And defensemen are an important part in dealing with goaltenders. I'm quite sure there, from my conversation with a mini goaltender with the Red Wings staff there. The bread and butter of a good goaltender is the defensemen who are in front of him there. So, I'm all for right now what he's doing, and I think he wants people now sooner than later.
The Wings in the second round took another defenseman, Shea Bouillon, drafted number 36. He played high school hockey at Shattuck St. Mary's, certainly a very established program in the United States. They took a forward in the third round, Carter Mazur. They also took a forward in the fourth round, Redmond Red Savage. And one thing about these NHL drafts, Butch, unlike some of the other leagues where you see a lot of these players, certainly with the Pistons in their draft this week, you'll more than likely see those players, at least in the first round, playing. You don't see these guys for a while, and that sometimes it's hard to grade a draft, but like you said, Steve Yzerman, he knows that they can't wait too long because Detroit is a city that expects a lot from its professional sports teams, especially the Detroit Red Wings. So certainly I think Yzerman feels the urgency that he's got to put a pretty good squad out now.
Yeah, he got to put a good squad out now, but he also has to put pressure on those scouts who get out there religiously around the world, as well as in the United States and Canada, to pick out and find these good players and try to, you know, get a hold to them, whichever means possible there. And that's very hard to do when you got 31 other teams out there doing the same thing. Again, any organization that is good, you bet your bottom dollar those scouts are the bread and butter of the remaining of the core, the which these players come on in there. And I think he's put a lot of pressure on the scouts to maybe do better, and also to do extensive hunting on some of these kids that's coming in. So he knows a great deal of the people he's selected right now. I think it's a matter of how you position them in the minor leagues. Some of them are going to continue to go to college and do their wares there, but he's not going to stop that. But again, how soon can you get that talent, and where do you get it from, okay? You know, your minor league system, true. The college, some kids are able to maybe come up, but we haven't seen it with the Red Wings in years past. So, again, I think some of the traditional things that we have saw in the past where the Red Wings would sit back and wait for someone to develop, I think the future's now, and there's a little bit more urgency to get players ready to go, especially if they're talented, they're athletic, and can be teachable, okay, with the coaches and the staff, in order to get up there right away in the NHL and to show their wares.
Butch Davis joining us on the game, and Butch, you broke this news last night on Butch on Sports that the Red Wings re-signed defenseman Mark Stahl to a one-year contract worth $2 million. The deal also includes a full no-movement clause. Certainly, the Wings are pretty weak on defense, for lack of a better term. Certainly a veteran defenseman like that will help some of these young guys develop. What did you think of that move?
You need a leader, okay? And the Red Wings have not had one. They finally now have a leader who not only in on the ice, but in the locker room there to help develop some of these young kids, to get in these young kids' heads to do better, and to have some influence. A good locker room any day of the week is going to bring a good team concept on the play, not only in practice, but on the ice when you play the games there. I think Mark Stahl will bring that to the Red Wings with some leadership there. Don't be surprised you don't see an A on this jersey.
Butch, final Red Wings note from today, the relationship with Evgeny Shevnikov, easy for me to say, and the Wings came to an end Monday as the Detroit Red Wings chose not to extend the restricted free agent, as he was a draft pick in 2015. He only played 41 games with the Wings over the past four seasons. Just didn't quite work out for him in Detroit.
I think he worked out for Detroit. I think basically right now, Yzerman needs some pieces to give to a particular coach or a particular team, per se, in order to drive or get some good players in there. I don't think that other team would have took the Svechnikov if he was not going to be a plus right now for that particular team in order to come right on in there and do some damage there. Svechnikov is a pretty doggone good player. I think he worked out very well for the Red Wings, but the odds and numbers of what the Red Wings need now versus what they have. They got a slew full of forwards there and centermen. They don't have a slew full of defensemen, goaltenders, or other pieces that's going to be more significant in making sure that the team can put a hearty effort on the ice.
Butch, we're going to take our top of the hour break. When you and I come back, we have plenty of other topics to talk about, including the Detroit Tigers, Pistons, Lions, and of course, our roundtable. All coming up on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, ESPN 1400.
Done being stuck in the house? Ready for some summer fun on the water? Stop by Central Savings Bank for that boat or jet ski loan. Don't want to be on the water? That's okay. Come see a lender about a camper or maybe a home equity for that cabin in the woods or a side-by-side or ATV. Remember, you can always apply online at centralsavingsbank.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Ask what we can do for you.
Whatever you're up to this summer, Central Savings Bank has the loan product to help get it done. Whether it's buying a boat, side-by-side, camper or cabin, tractor, a new house, or a ticket out of here, we can help. Call, stop by, or apply online at centralsavingsbank.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Central Savings Bank, ask what we can do for you.
It's 2021, and Reed Metals in Dafter, your honest, main source, one-stop metal recycling business serving northern Michigan, hopes everyone has a prosperous year. If you need a few extra dollars to help with your cooling bills or that trip you may want to take to the warm state of Hawaii, bring Reed Metals your unwanted scrap metals, and they'll print you a check. Reed Metals is paying top dollar for whole scrap vehicles. They also buy heavy equipment, catalytic converters, radiators, batteries, rims, and motors. Reed Metals will give you an honest price without surprise fees or deductions at the scale. Bring in copper, brass, lead, tin, cast, aluminum, steel, and many more types of recyclable metals, and they'll print you a check with your name on it. Reed Metals is your honest, one-stop metal recycling business. They also offer roll-off dumpster service. Reed Metals is open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Visit reedmetals.com or call 906-632-0018. Bring it in or have it hauled, and Reed Metals will print you a check with your name on it. Reed Metals, 10 miles south of the Sioux on Mackinac Trail. Let's get to the second half of The Game here on ESPN 1400, WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie's sports leader. It's the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. Now, here's Scott Nason.
Welcome back to The Game on ESPN 1400. Scott Nason with you as we continue to be joined by Butch Davis, co-host of The Game and host of Butch on Sports in Detroit. Butch, let's talk about the Detroit Tigers. If you would have scripted this conversation on Thursday, it would have been all happy happies as the Tigers swept a seven-game homestand and things were looking good as they headed on the road to Kansas City, a team that's below them in the standings, and the Tigers just got whooped in many different ways over the weekend, losing three straight to the Kansas City Royals. And Butch, just when you think that maybe things are going right for the Tigers, they pull out a weekend like this past weekend. I know you got a lot to say about the Tigers. The floor is yours, sir.
The Tigers stunk this weekend here.
Yes, they did.
They stunk the highest. You know, I don't want to say things that basically, because I know this is a family show, but they stunk. They really did. And it seemed like they were doing more experimenting than basically going out there and trying to win. Again, you leave it up to the, you know, all these fastballs that were going across the plate, and there's, you know, no dressing for the particular hitters they're facing. It was obviously they was teeing off on the Tigers like a hog is teeing off on slop here, man. It was terrible, okay? Defense was terrible, okay? Although on Sunday there were no errors, but I did not see a great effort out there. I looked at Derek Hill in center field on Sunday here. He didn't seem like he was putting that yeoman effort to go after a baseball there. And if he did, and as fast as he is and as athletic as he is, I guess my question would be with the Tigers when I catch up with him is this guy 100%, okay? And if he's not, why is he still playing there, okay? You know, why don't you, you know, do some things to allow the player to get stronger. If you got to send him back to the minors, so be it. But we got to have a whole person out there in the outfield instead of a half person there. And that's just my question with the Tigers. You know, are they being truthful about injuries? Are they basically coming out and doing their best job in coaching these kids the scouting giving ideals or basically what they're seeing, what they see from other teams versus what they give the coaches and the staff members, what they're doing. It was just a very poor job. And hopefully they get better in Minnesota this week, because if they don't, they're not going to get them nice little crowds. And I know Saturday is a big crowd on Negro League week, where basically the crowds are very, very expanded. And they may not get nobody if they're losing the high heaven there and don't get this right.
The Tigers right now, Butch, 47-54, 13 games out of first, 9 games out of the wild card. And this week is the trade deadline week in Major League Baseball. What are you hearing or what are you thinking as far as what the Tigers do? They're not really in it. They're not really out of it. Are you getting any feeling as far as some names and players maybe that might be moved, or are they just going to stand pat, in your opinion?
Alavila said that he's not rebuilding no more, he's building. So in his conversation last Tuesday with us, the media, he said basically right now he is very happy with what he has right now. So I don't think we're going to see any moves unless, and I would say a big unless, he's an impact player that can come in immediately and improve the team. And I don't see that if there's no guarantee that the Tigers are going to make the playoffs this year. So don't expect to see the Tigers make any specific or major moves on the team.
Tigers in Minnesota for a 3-game set. You can hear that game around 8 o'clock over on our sister station, 1230 WSOO, and then they'll return home for a series against Baltimore and then Boston. Butch, looking across the standings in Major League Baseball, the Boston Red Sox still in quite a battle with Tampa Bay. They lead the Rays by 1 in the AL East. Chicago leads by 9 games over the Cleveland Indians. We can still say that this year. We'll have to call them the Guardians next year. Houston still leading the AL West by 5.5 over Oakland. Over in the National League, Mets continue to lead the NL East by 4 games over Philadelphia, 5 games over Atlanta. Milwaukee all of a sudden starting to run away with it in the NL Central. They're 6.5 games ahead of the Cincinnati Reds and the San Francisco Giants. We've talked about them a lot on this show, Butch, still leading the Dodgers by 2 games. We're getting into the end of July. What are you thinking on some of these pennant races?
We're going to see moves made, if not tonight, tomorrow, especially there with many of the teams that have some need to be greedy and do right. The Yankees, especially right now, there, I'm expecting them to make some moves, like it or not there, but these other teams as well, I expect them to maybe find some components from maybe the lower tier teams that are not doing so well, but they may have a veteran that can absolutely contribute. The one name, if I see the Tigers doing anything with, would be Grossman there.
Yeah.
Okay, that would be the one if anybody is moved. And if Grossman's move, it's got to be some young player to come immediately in and to pay some dividends for the Detroit Tigers. But don't expect a lot of moves to be made as far as the Tigers are concerned, but teams like New York or Boston or, you know, for that matter, maybe Cincinnati. There's going to be some movement made if they have any aspirations that their teams can make the playoffs.
Butch, you and I were talking off the air about my travels this week. I'm going to be fortunate enough to head to the Northeast and catch a game at Fenway Park on Thursday as Boston will take on Toronto. You've been to Fenway Park, Butch. What are some of the things that I should expect? I'm certainly looking forward to heading to one of the oldest ballparks in all of the land.
So you will smell a stench in the air, buddy.
Well, it's Boston.
It's a small park, but it's a compact park there. A lot of Boston Red Sox fans, and also a lot of people from New York and the coastal area normally moves on in there to see games as well. You know, may as far as Vermont, I would say there. You will be new coming from Sault Ste. Marie going into Boston, and I'm just saying don't wear a Tiger hat.
No, I won't.
Have it when you come home.
I won't.
And, you know, just enjoy the surroundings. It's a park that you don't see too much of as far as the parks that are being made nowadays there, but it's an old-fashioned park with a lot of tradition, a lot of feel to it. The park looks beautiful indoors there, okay? You know, the concession stand, it reminds me of old Tiger Stadium, per se, there. As far as, the stench or the smell of the ballpark, you smell the hot dog maybe a couple miles away or something of that nature there. So, enjoy yourself. It's going to be crowded. They're going to have people in the stands, if not sold out already there. You know, every now and then you'll get some guy here who's on the nut. So just be aware, you know. But they love the Red Sox in Boston there. So don't get out of character. That's all I got to say. Oh, they're going to hound you.
I fully intend not to get out of character, Butch, and I've been
a long way to run to your hotel.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it's a couple miles away. So, I'm not that fast. I've been to Tiger Stadium many times. I've been to Wrigley Field a couple times, and certainly this one field in my bucket list. The Butch, let's move on to the Detroit Pistons. Certainly a big week for that organization as the NBA draft is this Thursday, and all signs point, at least at this point, to the number one pick being Cade Cunningham out of Oklahoma State. I know he was at the Tigers game this weekend. He's already saying he's embracing the city of Detroit. Is it a foregone conclusion that Cade Cunningham will be picked first by the Pistons, rather, on Thursday?
Well, the Pistons are not making it a foregone conclusion. You got players like Mobley and Green out there. Those are the top three, along with Cunningham. So don't be surprised if I'm quite sure right now a lot of teams are inquiring the Pistons to move down or to give some promises of some players that can come in right now and help the Pistons there. Lord knows what will happen there. So expect maybe the unexpected, but right now, in my mind, Cunningham is going to be that number one draft pick.
Yeah, I think so as well, Butch. And since we didn't have a show last week, congratulations to the Milwaukee Bucks winning their first NBA championship in 50 years as they knocked off Phoenix in six games. Certainly, Butch, the way that series went after the first two games, didn't look like Milwaukee had much of a chance, but what were the keys to their success? Obviously, Giannis hitting free throws and scoring 50 points in the clinching game was a part of it, but what was the reason, in your opinion, that they were able to erase that early deficit and claim the NBA championship?
In my mind, the coaching staff, you would expect the Milwaukee Bucks, as good as they have been the last 4 years, to be in championships way before this year here. And I do believe that there had been a lot of pressure on the coaching staff and basically a lot of pressure on Giannis to show out and show in. And he did that, you know, and he kind of spurred some other players who were expected to do very well. And they showed up and did whatever they had to do. One thing I did see in this series that I was very happy to see, you didn't see a lot. You saw the three-point shot being made, but only at times where that player can actually make it. I saw a very high percentage of three-pointers being made by both teams, matter of fact, there. But they didn't, dismiss the 14-footer. They did not dismiss the going in the paint, and Giannis did that with a regularity there. And the zones that teams play was no longer a fact that stopped the team from doing some of the things that they used to do in order to win a game. You can't win it. I'm very disagreeable about the three-pointer there. I love the three-pointer when it can be shot and be shot consistently, at least over 50%. But when you're showing up a percentage of 30% or 35%, that's not winning basketball there. And then that's the same to say with the American team that we saw this past when they lost a game to a certain particular team, France. The three-pointer will not bail you out. You got to play regular basketball there. You got to play good defense, but also those 14-footers, those 15-footers, 18-footers that are playing in the paint, those are what win games. And Milwaukee did it better than anybody else in those last four games.
Butch, before we go to break and move on to our next subject, do you think that this series, this NBA Finals, was good for the NBA as far as not having two big market teams win, not having two quote-unquote super teams win where you get two or three free agents and, you know, that we've seen over the past, you know, almost dozen years? You have to go back, I think, maybe to Dallas when they won 10 years ago, maybe not having a quote-unquote super team. Do you think this NBA Finals was good for the NBA? And do you think that general managers now might reconsider their strategies as far as taking the Milwaukee or Phoenix approach, making smart trades, getting good drafts? Or do you think that next year it's going to be back to business as usual?
I think it did excellent for the NBA because it did not forecast a wild and woolly game out on the floor there. It showed skill. It showed a lot of defense. It showed that, you know, all you do is look at the deer district out there,
yeah.
Okay? And all those people showing up to see one basketball team. Well, you got 14, you know, maybe 20,000 inside the building, but you got 65,000-75,000 people outside the building there, you know, and really, you know, for a town like Milwaukee versus, a town like Detroit, for instance, which is a little bit more people involved there, it did wonders for them there. And I think it spurs a lot of teams that you don't have to have those big fat big threes and big fours and all this other garbage. You got to get some people that you can influence to do their very best on the floor and do well on the back line there. And that's what Milwaukee had, and also Phoenix. Give them credit where credit due. You know, this series is not the series without Phoenix doing their damage to a lot of good teams out there who were more or less expected to be there.
Yeah, I agree 100%, Butch. I think this was very good for the NBA, and certainly I hope that other general managers take a look at the model in Milwaukee and Phoenix, because obviously it was a very successful model this season. Butch, we're going to take a break here on the game. When you and I come back, we have a lot of NFL news from just today and over the past few weeks as the Lions start their training camp at Allen Park, as we're just a few weeks away from the exhibition season beginning in the NFL. All coming up on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, ESPN 1400.
At Old Mission Bank, we're ready to make your home ownership dreams a reality. We're excited to announce that we now offer USDA home loans with options for 100% financing. You heard that right, 100% financing for qualifying USDA mortgages. Come see our experienced lenders to discuss your personal options and let us find the right mortgage for your needs, because it's what we do best. Act now to pre-qualify by calling us or apply directly online at omblloans.com. We're Old Mission Bank, home of your experienced local mortgage professionals. FDIC insured equal housing lender.
Summer, the change of seasons is sure to bring a smile to your face. Don't let your mood sour at the prospect of dealing with that unreliable mower for yet another year. Rely on the experts at Gaylor Thompson Sales and Service. Their highly skilled technicians can help. Gaylor Thompson Sales and Service takes pride in their work, and they know that an ounce of prevention can mean years of reliability down the road. Call them to talk about your service needs, or stop in and chat with Paul and the gang today. Gaylor Thompson Sales and Service, just off I-75, exit 370. Rudyard, Michigan.
Getting the kids to practice on time. Remembering if it's your day to bring snacks. Making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Madigan Pinkator, your independent auto owner's agency on West Water Street in the Sioux.
O'Connor's Chrysler Dodge, Dodge Truck and Jeep in Pickford is your full-service dealership, servicing Pickford and the surrounding areas with pride for more than 50 years. O'Connor's top-notch body shop includes a state-of-the-art frame straightener. O'Connor's is also a proud supporter of community events. Its sales team has the experience to know which model is right for each customer. And with financing available to back your purchase, you can drive away today in your dream vehicle. Local people, local pride. Stop in today on M129 at O'Connor's.
The last tractor you'll ever need is here. Get into a Massey Ferguson compact or utility tractor and accomplish more than ever before. These versatile tractors are known for their unbeatable power, smart fuel economy, and upgraded creature comforts. And with their ability to multitask through any job around the yard or farm, they'll provide you with outstanding value for years to come. Do all you need to do and more with Massey Ferguson compact and utility tractors. Visit Skinner's of Pickford to find the right model for your operation. You can catch podcasts of the game at thegamesportsshow.com. Now let's get back to it with Scott Nason here on ESPN 1400.
Welcome back to the game on ESPN 1400. Scott Nason with you as we continue to be joined by Butch Davis, co-host of the game and host of Butch on Sports. Don't forget you can hear the full two-hour version of tonight's show around 8:30 on the website, thegamesportshow.podbean.com. And a programming note, we will not have an edition of the game next Monday as I will be on vacation. So our next edition of the game here on ESPN 1400 will be the first day of practice for high school sports on Monday, August 9th. Butch, let's move on to the NFL and the Detroit Lions. Lots to talk about with both as the Lions are starting their training camp in Allen Park. I know you're going to be there for a majority of that to take in the sights and sounds of the new look Lions. We've said that a few times during our tenure here on the game, Butch, but it certainly is a new look with the new quarterback and Jared Goff, new head coach and Dan Campbell. And so just give our listeners a preview of the Lions training camp expectations this season. Obviously a little bit low, but who knows what will happen with the Lions. What are you expecting to see over the next couple weeks in Allen Park, Butch?
Well, first of all, every reporter that goes into that building or come on that premises has to have a shot, okay?
Yep.
Need to be need to show that you're tested and you don't have it, and a whole lot of temperature taking when you walk in and walk out. That's going to continue there for that camp there. And also they're asking the fans to do the same there. If you have not received your shots there, be very, very sure you're not going to spread it to others there. Because, again, we don't, in Michigan right now, we don't have a mask mandate, which is probably going to happen sooner or later. But again, they're asking everybody to be very vigilant in getting the shot if you don't have it there. But as far as talent is concerned, we're going to see now Campbell biting the kneecaps off off of people and raking them dry or whatever it may be. That rough and tough attitude, we're going to see it in the camps now. So I'm expecting four or five good fights and whatnot, maybe the first two or three days of the camp that I visit. If it's going to be outdoors, it rains indoors, and that's another scenario that we've got to look at. But if the camp is outdoors, I'm expecting to see some good fights, some puking going on there in buckets or on the ground. Just a lot of good football stuff there in order for them to get prepared for this particular season.
Butch, a lot of reports in the media this week as far as Calvin Johnson, a former Detroit Lions wide receiver who will be entering the NFL Hall of Fame. And, Calvin Johnson has talked a lot over the past few days about the Hall of Fame, but not a whole lot of time on the Detroit Lions. Is that relationship still is fractured? And that's probably saying it very nicely. At some point, are the Lions and Calvin Johnson going to have a come-to-Jesus moment? It seems like they had that with Barry Sanders, although it took a long time. Can you explain the rift that continues with Calvin Johnson and the Lions?
Well, the Detroit Lions, have to understand, and I mean they really have to understand, the calendars of that particular team for those many years that Calvin Johnson was on there was him. And for the team to be petty, and I mean, this, I call it petty,
yeah.
They asked for $2 million back in their wallets because they're mad because they can't do what they want to do or dictate to a player when they should quit or what, you know, where they should go and how they should live. It's mind-boggling there, okay? And it's just, you know, Calvin right now has a very lucrative business in there, in the marijuana business, if you don't know that by now there. If you do, now you're aware. You know, he has a very lucrative marijuana business there. And other things going on in his life that, you know, that he has to make a living off of. When you take something from someone, and he's more than deserving to have that particular money, but the Lions get mad and say, well, hey, look, you're not going to play my game, give me my ball, and I'm going home kind of attitude, that's not something to, you know, to show that we care about you there. I don't think the regime of the Lions right now got it. If the president and the owner of the Detroit Lions don't talk up instead of Mr. Woods, okay? I think that is the sticking point right now is Mr. Woods and his conversation with Mr. Johnson, or there are the conversations with Mr. Johnson, maybe via his agents or his special people that he counsel with and counsel with others. I think Ms. Ford, Sheila, that is, she needs to come on in there and say, hey, look, you know what? What we did was wrong.
Exactly.
What we did was, for the amount of time and what you did on, and this guy came in not able to walk, and I personally saw it with my own eyes there, couldn't walk and for two or three doggone days, but yet still, he was ready to go to battle for him every Sunday that they hit the field. That needs to be rewarded, okay? Because many players wouldn't do that, okay? They would just sit out there and wrangle the weeds and get their paycheck. But Calvin Johnson didn't do that. He gave all of himself on that field there. And I just think it's wrong that Detroit, with a petty amount of money that they took from him, from the people who owned the particular team, didn't give it back, okay? That's all they have to do. We're wrong. Whoever was running the regime before, we apologize. We want to reward you with this money there. And if necessary, put interest on that money that they took from the guy there. And let it be done and over with there. I think that was, it's the principle of the matter there, the principality of the matter there. And the Lions did a very poor job at, we know, private and personally, that they know how to do very well. Just stake up the joint there.
It would be a nice gesture by Sheila Ford Hamp to come out this week before the Hall of Fame ceremony and everything is announced and say exactly what you just said, Butch, in my opinion. It would go a long ways, obviously, with Calvin Johnson, you would think, and it would go a long way with the fan base that's just tired of the same old Lions, SOL, as we say, and we'll probably be saying it over the next few months on the field.
With his family, okay?
Exactly.
Calvin has a family, okay? His mom, his dad, friends, relatives, who watched this guy go through what he's been through for 10 years with the Detroit Lions, and didn't get, you know, the best thank you they got from the guy when he wanted to retire is give me my money back.
Yeah.
Okay? That doesn't fit well. You know, news spread on how you do things there. And right now, the Lions got egg on their face until they fix this. And they don't hurry up and fix it. You know, I don't think there's, you know, no impasse to getting Calvin Johnson to say anything nice. I know he won't say anything nice about the Detroit Lions
No.
when it comes down to the Hall of Fame ceremonies upcoming.
Nor should he, in my opinion. This past week, Butch, the NFL sent out a memo warning to players that and teams and managers and general managers and owners that they could forfeit a game due to COVID-19. seen an outbreak among non-vaccinated players, and players on both teams wouldn't get paid that week. In the memo, they say, as we learned last year, we can play a full season if we maintain a firm commitment to adhering to our health and safety protocols and to making needed adjustments in response to changing conditions. This from Roger Goodell, commissioner. Goodell also said that the league does not anticipate adding a 19th week to accommodate games that can't be rescheduled within an 18-week regular season. However, forfeits are among the consequences. So, Butch, if I'm a owner of an NFL team, and I know there's still a segment of the population that I talk to, that you talk to, that's just in general, that refuses to get the vaccines, I'm making that mandatory, because you're talking a lot of dollars potentially involved if there's a COVID outbreak, and it seems to be among the unvaccinated folks in this country and other places. If I'm an owner of an NFL team, I'm making that mandatory. I don't know how legal that is, but if you're playing for my team, you're getting the shots.
Well, let's forget about the money for a minute. You know, the common health and, you know, what's out here right now, a variant that is more stronger than the cookie cutter variant that was going around that was killing people for doggone near 18 months, okay? Young kids are now getting affected with this particular, especially if they have not been vaccinated and they're being placed in hospital. The NFL does not want to see that. They don't want to see a stoppage. And I commend the NFL for just saying, hey, look, you know, we not only make money and we are not only playing the game that we played as a kid, but we got to show a responsibility not only to ourselves but the fans that, you know, we're doing what we're supposed to do in order to keep everyone safe. And it means a lot. When I think the NFL came on out there with that particular speech, as the SEC, who was first to do that, okay?
Yep.
Let's give credit where credit's due. I think and I know that, you know, players should be intelligent and responsible. They need to do the most responsible thing, and that is to get a vaccine, unless there's absolutely a big-time reason why you cannot get it or why you should not get it. You know, come on, let's make some choices that are decent to your fellow man, okay? Let's all get vaccinated so we don't have to be at fear or have to close down again, because if Los Angeles is doing it, Alabama, who has the lowest rate in town, okay, they're doing it right now. Everybody's got to put their pedal to the metal and let's start doing things in the right frame of mind. And, you know, I feel bad for the kids 12 and under. We got a various note that I'm, you know, people don't know that I'm a teacher as well. We got to wear masks, okay? But we're doing the responsible thing for kids who are not responsible for what decisions are being made there. So I commend the NFL. In their ruling, we're going to get some pushback on that, maybe from the union as well. But we'll see how this goes, because, again, to me, it's the right thing to do.
As it is for me as well, Butch. A couple big news stories in the NFL just this afternoon, Butch, including the Green Bay Packers and the ongoing saga with the reigning NFL MVP quarterback Aaron Rodgers. According to ESPN's Adam Schefter, the Packers are now offering concessions to try to persuade Rodgers to return to Green Bay for at least one more season. According to Schefter, the 2023 year in Rodgers' contract, the last one on his current deal, would be voided. The Packers would agree to review Rodgers' situation at the end of this season. Of course, Green Bay's trying to get Rodgers into camp, but something that we've talked about over the past few weeks and months, it looks like, according to Adam Schefter, who's usually pretty accurate in his reporting, it looks like maybe, just maybe, the Packers and Aaron Rodgers are having their come-to-Jesus moment, and we might see Aaron Rodgers enter training camp this week and possibly be in the lineup for the Green Bay Packers, at least for this season.
Well, you know what? Aaron Rodgers is not going to come into camp at the beginning if you don't get an end date, okay?
Right.
And I think Aaron Rodgers has said it best. He does not want to be there. He should have been gone. But, again, you can't get rid of a salary and a contract, okay, unless Aaron Rodgers say, hey, look, you know, buy me out. Or basically the other route is to reduce the contract to 1 year, where it's more commendable for a team to snatch his contract up. What he's getting right now, he's getting a whole heck of a lot of money that many teams are not able to digest. So that the concession has to be made first in order for Rodgers to get moved. Then again, Rodgers has been there over 10 years. He has to pick of the chick of where he wants to go and who takes him, okay? So this very difficult scenario that Rodgers is in right now there is not getting any better, especially for Green Bay. I think the best way to do with Green Bay is if Rodgers will agree with it, is to buy him out. You know, buy out the contract, you know, for 1 year, void the rest of the contract, and let him go where he needs to go, and Green Bay takes a loss. Because, again, I don't think you're going to get anything off the block unless that contract is reduced.
Butch, the other news today involves Deshaun Watson, who did report to Texans training camp to avoid a fine. The Texans now apparently willing to trade Watson if the right offer is there. And more women have filed suit against Watson. Today, two new women among the 10 to file police complaints against Mr. Watson. This is just something that isn't going away. It's going to be very interesting to see how this one all shakes out. What are your thoughts on Deshaun Watson and his ongoing troubles?
But Watson didn't have no choice but to come into camp.
Right.
Because I'm quite sure he got a lot of settlements to make up for in order to live comfortably, okay? So he has no choice but to show up. He may change his attitude of staying there, and I'm quite sure Houston on the other hand of the bridge is saying, you know what, we don't want this kind of, you know, diversion or attention being brought to our team in order for it to be interrupted if something do come out of this particular situation there. A lot of things can be told there. So everybody's going to now be flexible with this particular situation. Don't be surprised if Watson is moved, but again, it's going to be very difficult for him to be moved with the status and the certain situation that Watson is in right now.
Butch, we're going to take our final break of the night. When you and I come back, we got to talk Olympics, as the Olympics have commenced in Tokyo. Certainly lots to talk about there and other things in the world of sports. All coming up on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, ESPN 1400.
Done being stuck in the house? Ready for some summer fun on the water? Stop by Central Savings Bank for that boat or jet ski loan. Don't want to be on the water? That's okay. Come see a lender about a camper or maybe a home equity for that cabin in the woods or a side-by-side or ATV. Remember, you can always apply online at centralsavingsbank.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Ask what we can do for you.
Whatever you're up to this summer, Central Savings Bank has the loan products to help get it done. Whether it's buying a boat, side-by-side, camper or cabin, tractor, a new house, or a ticket out of here, we can help. Call, stop by, or apply online at centralsavingsbank.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Central Savings Bank, that's what we can do for you.
It's 2021, and Reed Metals in Dafter, your honest, main source, one-stop metal recycling business serving northern Michigan, hopes everyone has a prosperous year. If you need a few extra dollars to help with your cooling bills or that trip you may want to take to the warm state of Hawaii, bring Reed Metals your unwanted scrap metals, and they'll print you a check. Reed Metals is paying top dollar for whole scrap vehicles. They also buy heavy equipment, catalytic converters, radiators, batteries, rims, and motors. Reed Metals will give you an honest price without surprise fees or deductions at the store.
scale. Bring in copper, brass, lead, tin, cast, aluminum, steel, and many more types of recyclable metals, and they'll print you a check with your name on it. Reed Metals is your honest, one-stop metal recycling business. They also offer roll-off dumpster service. Reed Metals is open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Visit reedmetals.com or call 906-632-0018. Bring it in or have it hauled, and Reed Metals will print you a check with your name on it. Reed Metals, 10 miles south of the Sioux on Mackinac Trail.
At Old Mission Bank, we're ready to make your home ownership dreams a reality. We're excited to announce that we now offer USDA home loans with options for 100% financing. You heard that right, 100% financing for qualifying USDA mortgages. Come see our experienced lenders to discuss your personal options and let us find the right mortgage for your needs, because it's what we do best. Act now to pre-qualify by calling us or apply directly online at omblloans.com. We're Old Mission Bank, home of your experienced local mortgage professionals. FDIC insured equal housing lender.
Summer, the change of seasons is sure to bring a smile to your face. Don't let your mood sour at the prospect of dealing with that unreliable mower for yet another year. Rely on the experts at Gaylor Thompson Sales and Service. Their highly skilled technicians can help. Gaylor Thompson Sales and Service takes pride in their work, and they know that an ounce of prevention can mean years of reliability down the road. Call them to talk about your service needs or stop in and chat with Paul and the gang today. Gaylor Thompson Sales and Service, just off I-75, exit 370. Rudyard, Michigan.
Let's get back to the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. Let's get back to the game on ESPN 1400.
7:40 on the game, ESPN 1400. Scott Nason with you as we continue to be joined by Butch Davis, co-host of the game and host of Butch on Sports in Metro Detroit. Well, Butch, the Olympics are in full gear in Tokyo as we had the opening ceremonies on Friday, and certainly lots of things to discuss as far as the Olympics, the team sports, the individual sports. But before maybe we delve into some of those, just overall, how has the first 4 or 5 days of the Olympics been for Butch Davis and his viewing pleasure?
Well, from what I have been able to digest, and believe there's a lot to digest there, we haven't heard a big flunk of COVID cases there.
Right.
You know, we haven't heard that. So, knock on wood for that particular there. But the atmosphere of the Olympics and the amount of people who are allowed to go there, which is normally the team members of the participants there, is pretty doggone good there. I've watched some pretty good doggone action. Now, there's some action that I really want to digress from and maybe flush down the toilet like the USA basketball team and their performance and whatnot there.
Viva La France.
La France. Viva La put their foot in their rear end here, man. That too. John Lafitte was on the doggone as a cheerleader or something, because they really stunk it to the United States in general. But, you know, it's been, you got to hear about new stars, and some of the stuff that really amused me is the skateboarding, badminton. These are games that we play as a regular human beings and whatnot. They're getting finally their due, okay? And I'm kind of enjoying that portion of the Olympics.
Yeah, I am as well, Butch. And you talked about the USA men's basketball team, also the U.S. women's soccer team, both struggling out of the gate. The soccer team lost to Sweden 3-0. They did beat New Zealand over the weekend. I would expect that they'll probably get things together, but I don't know if it's a matter of these teams are that poor or maybe just the world has gotten better. I mean, you look at it in women's softball. Yes, the U.S. has done very well, but they've had to squeak out games against teams like Australia and Italy, and they're playing a pretty good Japan team coming up who has an excellent pitcher. Is it the fact that some of these sports that maybe not soccer at least, but at least with the U.S. women's team over the past few years, they've been very successful. You look at some of these other basketball teams. I mean, Luka Doncic, what, he scored 48 points for Slovenia just today. Is it the fact that just these other countries have gotten a lot better?
I think the other teams have had more time to be together, okay, rather than the USA basketball team. Let's look at that, number one. Hey, the NBA Finals didn't end the last weekend there, okay? But, and you know the Olympics is coming, and there was no mention or nothing made that maybe suppress basketball to be done and over with maybe 2 or 3 weeks before the Olympics start. We got players going over there like Drew Holiday and whatnot going over there on the fly and hasn't had one time of practice with the team at all there. Versus the other team, I think they're more readily prepared. They've been together as a, you know, especially with the team games there. You got to be familiar with your teammates, what they can and cannot do. I think they have an advantage with that than the U.S. there. Then basically the U.S. are doing things in a manner where it's the last minute, and after that, again, they maybe have only maybe 1 week to be together to train and do whatever it may be before they get on a plane and go to Japan. I think that needs to be looked at.
Right now in the medal count, Butch, it's very early. China has 18. The U.S. has 14. Japan has 13. One of the things I like, and of course, we're Americans. We root for American teams. But seeing some of these other countries that have success, you and I were talking on the break about the Philippines getting their first medal. And it's just fun to see some of these smaller countries and athletes, in judo. U.S. Got a gold medal in fencing for the first time. Tennis, it's, overall, I just think the spectacle has been good. And I think the network coverage has been good. Granted, there are many things on Peacock for those that don't get it, like the U.S. men's basketball team's first few games, but the other networks like USA and NBC Sportsnet and CNBC, they've had some really good coverage and live coverage because everything's 13 hours away, so you're only seeing live stuff in the early mornings and late evenings here in the U.S.
If you're able to stay up overnight, if you're able, now most people got to go to work in the morning, you may not have that flexibility there, but the ones like myself, right now, who's on a semi-vacation there, and maybe can just take a nap or something and wake up and see a certain thing going on. And if you have Peacock, only if you have Comcast, you'll get exclusively to that. Others will have to pay that Peacock Plus, okay,
yep,
in order to see everything they want to see and when they want to see it. I think the coverage for NBC is pretty doggone good. So far, so good. I don't have no complaints on it. And they have been doing a yeoman job of covering a lot of things. I know NBC is practically going 24 hours, at least, from the days I've been watching the Olympics on the major network there. You may have seen the local news or something be broke on in there, but other than that, you see the Olympics all day long.
And I like it, and they pay a lot of money to televise those events, so they certainly...
They lost a lot of money, too.
Yes, they have, and so they want to get revenue in. Butch, a big story over the past few days in college sports involves the University of Oklahoma and Texas. Of course, they now play in the Big 12, and today they notified the Big 12 that they will not be renewing their grants of media rights after their expiration in 2025, the speculation, and it's pretty rampant right now, is saying that these two schools possibly could leave the Big 12 to join the SEC. It would have to be in 2025, so it's still a few years away. But boy, you look at the SEC as it is now in sports, especially football. You had Oklahoma and Texas. My goodness, that's really has the potential to shake up the landscape in college football and athletics if those two schools move to the SEC.
It's a shocker. It's a big fat mess. I put it that way there. But again, this all has to have something to do with the expansion or lack of expanding the playoff situation there. There's a lot of money involved with the major networks, per se, when it comes down to these super particular venues or conferences such as the Big Ten or the SEC or the ACC there. And right now they're looking at that and saying, we got a better chance. And due to the flow of who's been representative of football in general, mainly football has a lot to do with this there, not basketball per se, where you can get as many as 68 teams involved. You get that four teams? You know, I don't think this happens if there's an expansion and you got 12 or maybe 20 teams going for playoffs or whatever may be there. I think a lot of the conferences are having these needless games and whatnot, Joe Blow High or whatever it may be in their schedules and whatnot. And although they're making money because they're Texas or Oklahoma, they're not getting the notoriety when it comes down to getting in the playoffs and whatnot. And I think this has a lot to do with it.
Butch, the WWE is back on the road this week, as we saw fans in, I believe, Dallas. And we saw the return of John Cena on Raw and SmackDown, as well. He was hoping to face Roman Reigns in SummerSlam, but on Friday, Roman Reigns didn't quite want to do that. Instead, accepted Finn Balor, who's back in the WWE after a stint in NXT. What's your thought on the world of wrestling here as we're back amongst fans heading into SummerSlam?
I think the stuff is hitting the fan, okay, with the WWE and how they're doing things. And I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, okay, when we talked about the WWE in particular. The talking and the hyping of a match or whatever it may be, it's not getting them any points versus the other conglomerates there are showing actual wrestling matches from beginning to end, less talking, and I'm quite sure you're going to get some chatter there, maybe 2 or 3 minutes of trying to hype a match or whatever it may be, or some kind of stunt. But the WWE right now, that's all you're seeing there is all these scripts that basically don't show matches and whatnot. How can John Cena come on in there straight from the street, the Fast Five or whatever movie he's doing there, and come in there and demand respect? You know, he ought to have been slapped in the doggone, I'm going to omit the word I'm going to use there because that just doesn't make any sense. Have John Cena wrestle some of his lesser opponents in there. He's not touched one individual there. He's out there selling wolf tickets, as we also used to say, in school and whatnot there, and not getting any mileage versus Finn Balor. Is, you know, working every week,
right,
you know, and to perfect his craft, and he's more deserving to have a match there. That makes more sense than somebody just coming out. And Goldberg, okay? That was another ordeal there. He just come out of the street from Atlanta and whatnot saying, I'm next. I mean, what's the deal with that there, with the WWE just giving priorities to this particular there? It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't grab me as a viewer to watch something like that. Let's wrestlers be wrestlers, okay?
Butch, before we get to our thumbs up and thumbs down, is there any sort of topic or sport or things that you'd like to cover here before we get to that? I'm out of ammunition. We covered everything.
I do, but it's censored, you know. Look at our shoulder, those censored remarks there. I think the main attrition that I saw this particular that was distasteful or just not right was the performance of the Detroit Tigers this week. It was just basically bland, and I'm quite sure a lot of fans out there are very upset on what they saw and on television. They all geeked up after coming off a great vacation and all, about 3 or 4 days, and expecting Detroit Tigers to put some metal in the pedal there. They only like maybe 5 games away from 500.
Yeah.
And they stink it up again for the whole weekend. And it just put a bad taste in my mouth. And again, I'll say it like it is. You know, management staff ought to be ashamed of themselves for the product they put on the field this weekend there. They did not act like they wanted to win a game there. It was more or less like they were experimenting certain things in certain situations. The Casey Mize thing is especially misleading there on what this guy, what they're going to do with this guy. They're either going to put up or get off the pot or else take a dump here, okay, on what they're going to do with Casey Mize. He should have been out of there after 4 innings, okay? But yet still, you keep him in there for 5 innings, and look what happened, okay? It just doesn't fit, okay? And to experiment with a kid like that and put him down like that, you know, they don't disrespect horses when they put them down, okay? Why sit up there in the sight of my eyes to sit up there and knowing that this guy's pitch count, if that's what you're trying to protect, and going into the fifth inning when he done threw 80 pitches, why put him through any more misery, okay? You know, I've had enough.
It gets old after a while, Butch. We've seen it for too many years, and you hit the nail on the head when you talked about fans. I mean, we saw decent crowds starting to come back to Comerica during that 7-game homestand, and you know, you get your hopes up and you think things are good, and then it baffles the mind how a team can look so good and then go down to Kansas City, not exactly world beaters. I mean, it's one thing if you go to Boston or Tampa, you know, you're playing pretty good teams. Kansas City stinks.
Playing for something there, but when you see what we saw this weekend there, you know, where is the effort? Where is the drive there? There we don't see anything of anything there. And it's very disappointing. If they're looking for fans to come there, this is a wrong time to project it there because football is coming.
Yep.
High school as well is coming. The basketball, the draft is coming. Okay, more excitement in there. The Red Wings are doing what they have to do to become better. Okay, the fans in Detroit metropolitan area, as well as in the state of Michigan, have more doggone choices than many to do what they can do with their money. Especially these concerts are coming as well. Don't forget that.
Butch, that's a great transition to our thumbs up and thumbs down for the week. I will start, as you pretty much said all I wanted to say about the Detroit Tigers. You know, this is a team I got pretty excited after the homestand, and my oldest son, who is only 15 years old. No, he's 14 years old. I can't keep up on that. But he said, "Dad, don't get too excited. It's the Tigers. You know, they'll probably screw it up," and they did. So thumbs down to the Detroit Tigers. They got a big week ahead. Minnesota for 3, Baltimore at home. Certainly teams below them in the standings. Let's have another streak, Tigers, because you got a thumbs down this week, and you got 2 weeks before we have our show again. So thumbs down to the Detroit Tigers. Thumbs up to the Detroit Red Wings and general manager Steve Yzerman making some good moves, especially in goaltending, in my opinion. It looks like it's not a wait and see. It's let's get this right now. And I have faith in Steve Yzerman. Certainly he has a knack to make these deals and certainly has the ear of the NHL, and he has a resume to prove it. And so I think brighter days are ahead for the Detroit Red Wings. I certainly hope so. But on this week, Butch, I give them a thumbs up. Your thumbs up and thumbs down for the week, Butch.
Oh, boy. Thumbs down to the WWE and how they're doing things right now for the present SummerSlam, which will be right up in our nose hole at the end of August there. That's just, it's ridiculous there. Co-sponsors of that is the Detroit Tigers. I can't say any more about them. Thumbs up. Go to a young lady that we don't think about too much there, but we've seen her on television many, many times there, who's doing a magnificent job behind the scenes for the Olympics and also for her team. It's Michaela Maroney there, okay?
Yes.
And also, a young lady who lives right down the street from me, okay? The mister who's on the softball team in the United States of America, who saved their rear end, okay, and got them into a gold medal participant there. And if you don't know her name, her last name begins with a C, okay? So tell them, Scott, what it is what I'm talking about.
I'll have to look that one up, Butch. While I'm doing that, tell us what's in store for Butch on Sports here over the next couple weeks. Again, we won't have a show next week. Our next show will be on Monday, August 9th. So tell us about what's in store for Butch on Sports.
Well, we know Butch on Sports is going to definitely be on Wednesday night here. We'll go through, by the way, the Olympics, and hopefully some pre-draft situations, and watch some trades being made with the NBA, as far as seeing positions turn around like a tailspin in order to see how this draft is going to come about there. That's going to be one of the main additions there. Of course, next week we'll be looking at high school and how high school, the MHSAA, is going to be treating the high school athletes, because we haven't really gotten a definitive word on what the players will have to do in order to play football. So we know we're going to get a lot of chatter on that. We'll be investigating, of course, the draft, of course, there.
Looking forward to that indeed, Butch. That softball player, Amanda Chidester, was the one you were mentioning.
She lives less than 2 miles from my home.
That's fantastic. Butch Davis joining us on the game. Butch, have a great couple weeks. I will see you in Detroit next Thursday as I'm attending the Boston Red Sox game with my family. Look forward to seeing you, and we'll talk to you in 2 weeks' time for our next edition of the game, sir.
All righty.
All right, that's going to do it for our show. I want to thank Butch Davis along with Doug LaPrade and David McKeag Jr. This edition of The Game brought to you by ESPN 1400 and powered by The Game Entertainment and Media. We will talk to you in 2 weeks' time for our next edition of The Game here on ESPN 1400.
Thanks for listening to The Game here on ESPN 1400, WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie's sports leader. Check us out next Monday at 6 for the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. You can hear the podcast of the show and other broadcasts at thegamesportsshow.com.